What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The following is a presentation of the Tragically Hip podcast series.
Oh, it's so abrupt. Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to The Tragically Hip on Shuffle. Oh my goodness, this is a show where we pull one hip song at random and let it percolate in our brains for a week before gathering here. We dissect it. We debate it. We discuss it. Sometimes we agree, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes you're listening live. Sometimes you're listening to the podcast. And some of you are in the live stream right now. If you are, hello. Join us in the comments, please. That's a lot of fun. So whatever you're up to, roll down the windows, light a smoke, and cruise with us for the next hour. Okay, because this week on the Tragically Hip on Shuffle, we are brought to you by a wicker basket of lemons and consequences. So there's that. Tonight, I'm excited to welcome back Patrick from Toronto and Adam from Tampa, and our first timer, Ryan from Toronto. It's going to be a great show. Just like An Evening for Sarah J is going to be a great show. The Forever Hip is going to be playing. You're going to get a live podcast with special guest Patrick Downey. If you don't know, that's Gord Downey's brother. And he's just cool as shit. So we're going to hopefully raise a lot of money for Sarah's GoFundMe. It's Saturday, April 11th. The Firkin on Young. It's at 207 Young Street. So you got no reason not to be there if you're in Toronto. It's very accessible. There's even an elevator because it's on the second floor. Podcast is going to start at 8. Music should start at 9. And it's just going to be a great time. So $20 right now. There's early bird tickets left. Go to tickets.tthpods.com. That's tickets at tthpods.com. So there you go. I want to tell you a couple little interesting factoids about this song. It comes from the record Phantom Power. It was the sixth studio record, released July 14th, 1998. Producer was Steve Berlin. This was his first time at the board with the band. He also did music at work. They recorded it at the Bath House in Bath, Ontario. This is track number 8 of 12. It's about 4:30, I guess. It was released as a promo CD single in 1998. And I guess that explains why it doesn't have a video, but maybe we'll get into that in the discussion. And last but not least, before we go to our esteemed panel, it was number 72 on the Tragically Hip Top 40 countdown. So again, folks, An Evening for Sarah J. We're podcasting live from the Firkin on Young. It's going to be a hell of a time. So see you there. Now, panel, assemble. Here we are. This is fantastic. I'm so happy to be with you this evening. We have got returnees, Adam from Tampa and Patrick from Toronto. And we've got a new timer, a rookie, Ryan from Toronto. So there's that. Listen, we're going to have a good time tonight talking about vapor trails. And this is a pretty wild song. So why don't we give it a spin? And we'll come back on the other side and we'll get you to think about, while this song is playing, what your top right now go-to hip record is, if you had to name it right now. So you don't have to get cute. You can just name the one that's right now. But, or you can be cute, because cute's fun sometimes. So let's listen to Vapor Trails by the Tragically Hip from Phantom Power, July 14th. 1998. I remember where I was. Do you?
Coffee, man.
No, you can't. But now you can. And I'm going to just say those backing vocals in your right channel as the song is fading down. Jesus cripes. I couldn't believe it. I don't know that I've ever heard it that way before, but that's just me. Brian McNeil, your first time here. Welcome aboard, Captain.
Do I get like a sticker or something? Do I get a button? Is it swag?
Oh, do you know what's happening now? So I've got, gee whiz, give me 1 second, fellas.
Like a well-oiled machine.
This is the problem being live sometimes, you know? Got no audio. I can't hear you guys.
Interesting.
We hear you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious. Hold, please. Let me just see if my external headphones are somehow capturing it for some reason. Speak for a second.
JD's sitting in front of a wonderful background with his interests behind him.
Gee whiz.
His Edmonton Oilers, his Toronto Blue Jays, his Pearl Jam banner. I was asking, as a first timer, do I get merch? Do I get a button? Do I get a sticker?
Oh boy, if we ever get that crap, that would be amazing. You will be first on the swag list.
Love it. Love it. It's nice to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. I know that there is somebody who likes to talk about music in my life who is also a podcaster, and his name starts with Ryan and it ends with from Toronto. So
it's getting me to shut up. That's the hard part.
He's great. And that's why he's here. But Brian, I've got the question for you.
What you got, buddy?
What's your go-to hip record right now?
I've been listening. It's funny. I've been listening to all kinds of other stuff except the hip. And then this week I was like, shit, I have a show. So I kind of started pulled the records. I've been listening quite a bit to Day for Night. Day for Night is my favorite of all. So I went back to that one and really just kind of like, you know, dropped the needle and walked away. Love that one.
Isn't it just like wearing a really well-worn in denim jacket, you know?
Takes you back to the time and place, right?
It so does, yeah. Or maybe it's more appropriate to say a well-worn in pair of Doc Martens.
That too.
Yeah. Patrick, welcome back.
Good to be here, my friend. Nice to see you all.
Yeah, it's good to be seen, isn't it?
At times, yeah.
So listen. What is your go-to hip record right now?
My go-to hip record generally never changes. Really? Depending on your mood, right? You might reach for one album over the other.
Yeah.
But I'm always in the mood for World Container. Like, always.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's an interesting choice.
And as I age, I find myself gravitating toward the back half of the discography more and more.
Too. Beautiful.
Starting, you know, sort of with Inviolet Light forward. I just love almost everything from that point forward. And World Container seems to be that one spot that I'm always in the mood for.
It's a great record. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great record. I just haven't heard that many people say it's their not only is it their go-to, but it's their favorite.
Like, so it's a consistent go-to. Cool. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Adam from Tampa, question for you before we get into what your hip record is. Patrick and I were just talking, and he mentioned that. Oh, shit. I forget. I hate when that happens. I've got too many windows open, though, to take notes, so it's very difficult. Adam, let's just get right into it. What's your go-to hip record?
Well, I've been going through the box set of Phantom Power for weeks now. And not going to lie to you, listening to that, I said, this one line, and we'll get into the song, but the one line in the song that jumps out, I said, this would make a great hip on shuffle, because at the, until a few days ago, I said, I don't have any idea what that one line means. And so when you said last week, we're going to do, you know, Vapor Trails, I go, oh my God, you know, now the pressure's on. I can't be waiting for other people to spoon feed me. I'm not kidding. I absolutely have been listening to the second half of that record. And then I went to the extras and the live album. I just, it's sitting literally sitting right here, you know,
and
right
knowing here. You it's just, is with a fine tooth comb.
Yeah. I'm a fine tooth comb type of guy, but,
you are, I know that it's about you. That's why I'm excited for this song.
Yeah. It's a fantastic. So yeah, that's, but to be fair, because we did Wild Mountain Honey, I've also listened to music at work a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's, you know, I think it's a really good record. It's clearly not the best, but it's really just listening to you and Greg's episode on it. I said, I got to really, really dive back into this. And so those are the two records I've been.
You know, the great thing, if you want to be polite about music at work. Now, I personally like music at work. So live chat, this is what I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you that you can always say that music at work is the second best Steve Berlin record. So you could do you
controversial, could do controversial.
Go out on a limb.
Oh my goodness! Hello, guys. The live stream wasn't working on the on there, so it was double dipping me a little bit.
We just got bigger.
Yeah, it's nice now. I can see ya. I can look in your eyes. Yeah. And I can look in the chat, and I'm not seeing anybody write their Phantom Power haiku yet. It's 575, folks. A Phantom Power haiku. That's what your job is in the live stream this evening. So, Patrick, we're going to start with you on Vapor Trails.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did you listen this week?
quite a few, you know.
Yeah.
To the song itself, of course, and then as a whole, as part of the record. And, you know, truth be told, for me, the record really, really begins with Thompson Girl. I spent 20 years in radio, and I had a very brief but passionate love affair with Bob Cajun. But if I have to choose a song from this band that I really probably don't need to hear again, it's that one. It's just, I've heard it just far too many times. So generally when I listen to the record, probably 6 out of 10 times, I might skip over it. But for this, you know, assignment, listen to the whole album where it belongs. And like I said, the whole back half of the record just really, I don't know what it is. It just nails everything. I love it. I mean, I do like the whole thing, don't get me wrong, but the back half to me is just so much stronger. And maybe it's because it doesn't get enough radio play, so you don't get a chance to get burnt on something or hear it too much, so that it constantly
The back catalog a lot too, right?
Yeah, like it's all like it always, so it never loses that freshness when you hear those, that run of tunes, you know, starting from Thompson Girl forward.
Sure.
I listened to the album even I think twice today, and it's still a very strong record. I mean, I might argue it's a return to, I might argue the album itself is a return to form, you know, that almost sort of picks up. It could almost be full of
Hen House.
Could almost be fully.
Hen House.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Day for Night and Hen House are good. I like them a lot. They are probably my least spun. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Wow. And their songs, they're like,
a hot take, folks.
I love Grace 2. I love Scared. I love An Inch an Hour. I love, you know, Put It Off. I love Sherpa. I love 700 Foot Ceiling. Like those two, I love those. Those two records are, they just sort of, they're like a bit of a detour, and I'm great, and I'm glad they exist, because I'm glad Day for Night is not fully completely part two. But Phantom
right,
Power,
I feel like I'm in upside down world right now.
But I feel like Phantom Power could be fully completely part two, if that makes any sort of sense.
Sure, well, except for yeah. I mean, we could debate this one for a while. Let's stick with Vapor Trails for now. And I'm going to go to Ryan. Ryan, I have a question for you. Do songs like Poets and Bob Cajun on this record just fucking outshine these later tracks? Specifically, now we'll get into Vapor Trails. You know, does Vapor Trails stand a chance in a boxing match with either Poets or Bob Cajun?
You know, I'd obviously heard Vapor Trails before, because I bought this CD when it first came out, and I bought the record when it was finally pressed, you know, a few years ago. And I don't think I'd ever really paid attention to Vapor Trails before. But listening to it for this show, what struck me the most is this is a very interesting mirror to Poets. Like, if Poets is going on at 9:45 at night, Vapor Trails is the same song at like 2 a.m. like the same kind of intro. They're both songs that start with drums. The cadence of the opening line is very similar. It was interesting to me to hear Patrick talk about how he skips past Poets, because Poets as an album opener just always grabs me. I was actually really excited to be talking about this, because I'm normally out by Thompson Girl, Patrick. So I was like, well, look, there's more music here. So I think it really does hold its own among all those big singles.
I love that. Adam from Tampa, quick aside question. Okay. Who would be sitting beside Vapor Trails at the bar at 2 a.m.? What other Tragically Hip song would be hanging out with Vapor Trails at 2 a.m. in a CD bar?
Wow, that is it's going to be something from Day for Night, because of that thundering drum bass intro. You know, the song itself, not on Day for Night, but that the first 45 seconds, Sinclair and Johnny Fay are absolutely like owning that. And if you like bass and drums, you're like, oh my God, this song is just, and then of course you start off with titillations, which is an amazing word. And you're like, okay, I am like, I'm not going anywhere for 4 minutes and 35 seconds. There's just
the hook is in your cheek.
The
right?
hook is in me. So yeah. But if you put me on the spot, that has that dirty, nasty Day for Night. And I mean that in a good way. Day for Night has that whole sound that is unmistakable, and this one starts off like that. So that's my answer.
I completely agree.
Hold up, Patrick. Now I'm going to get to his real question. That was just sort of a tease.
Put me on the spot.
The real question is this song.
Yes, sir.
This song. Some of these backup vocals. You know, you talk about in the beginning the bass and drums. They're right in the pocket.
Okay.
But then you get, you know, Paul into the song, and those backup vocals are just tremendous. What do you make of all that?
Okay, so you're teeing me up here, because when you guys did your podcast and I listened to Lake Fever, and Paul, somewhere on Reddit, somebody said, Paul's background vocals. And I go, Paul sings on Lake Fever? He has his own verse, but it's mixed so low that I had to go back and listen to the song. And then when I listened to this song, I go, wow, Berlin really wanted to get Paul into the song, but he didn't make it real prominent. And so I love both of those, the production now. I've really come to appreciate it, because now I'm always listening for Paul. If I could play music, I would be a rhythm guitarist, and it would be like Paul Langlois. I just like, okay, I'm going to just hang out. I'm going to let Rob do all the real hard, tricky stuff. And I'm just going to be Keith keeping the rhythm there. So, but I love it when he sings. I just love it. So yeah, fantastic.
All right, Patrick, your pre-question is, how many smokes do you think Paul smokes during a concert?
Good question. Probably a pack and a half would be my guess. And
something up there.
Well, but how many of those does he actually smoke, or how many does he just light and then just sort of burn down to? Yeah, exactly.
He's a master of that.
But no, to Adam's earlier point, I thought of Vapor Trails, wondering if it was a holdover from the Day for Night sessions because of that dark tribal drum.
All right, but we do know that it was written in early 97. Doing my research
from the book,
Barclay seemed to think that they had road tested it before that, but he's incorrect. They first played it on stage in May of 97. But there was three songs on this that were ready to go when the session started, and this was one of them. So while it could have been, it have, you know, who knows? How do I know?
Yeah. It does have that feel. I don't think it would be out of place on Day for Night at all.
Well, I think that's the fun thing about this, is trying to see where record songs could go.
Mm-hmm. And you've got breadcrumbs, because you can look at set lists, and you know, there's lots of analysis on that kind of stuff. And it just gets better, you know, like what you can piece together, right? It's fascinating. So,
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Patrick, I want to get back to you, though. I want to ask you a question. And Ryan, I want you to think about this one, too. Vapor Trails, the title. It really conjures something. Like, I don't know what. So I'm curious what it conjures for you, or if it does. Like, am I way off base here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it does conjure something that's maybe not quite tangible. You can't, right? You know, it's almost something you can feel but not touch, or something you can sense but not touch, right? You know, you watch a plane fly through the sky and you can still see the trail behind it, something like that. You know, you can see it, but your hand would pass right through it almost. So metaphysical, I mean, I don't know, there's a $10 word, right? But there's maybe mystical is a bit overselling it, but there's something there that isn't there, if that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a cloud or like a,
right,
like
you can perceive it, but you can't touch it no matter how you try.
Well, that's cool. So Ryan, your pre-question is, what's another $10 word?
I got a $12 word, and that's ephemeral.
Right, hit me.
Excellent.
You know, it's not only is it just there and you can't touch it, but it's gone in a second. And that, like, when I think of something like Vapor Trails, I think of like the smoke, the steam, you know, not only is it out of reach, but it's going to dissipate in moments, which is kind of interesting for this song, because lyrically, this is a very lonely song. It strikes me very, very much of the kind of words one would think of if they're traveling alone, if they're on the road by themselves. I've taken a couple vacations or road trips by myself, and you got to be comfortable with your own thoughts and also comfortable just talking to strangers, because otherwise you're going to go nuts. But that was what came to me, was, you know, this very fleeting feeling, this very lonely feeling that may or may not be permanent.
Where does the loneliness come from?
It's a road song.
Yeah, it's very much a road song. Mm. Like, he's talking about just staring into the soles of his shoes. He's talking about sitting on the edge of the bed. That was the first thing I thought of. He talks about like looking out at the fields at the Mexican farmhands. You know, wearing their brown shirts. It struck me very much as, you know, you're in the cab side seat of the truck as you're getting from point A to point B. You're in the hotel room by yourself, you know, where the TV only gets three channels and they all suck. which is really interesting that the lyrics seem this lonely, because it's such an upbeat song. It's kind of like Hey Ya by Outkast, which is actually a very sad song, but because it's so bouncy and upbeat, nobody ever notices.
Right. Huh. Yeah. You've got me scratching my head here thinking, which is good. That's what we do here every Wednesday.
You see it now.
8 o'clock.
It's an introspective
Tragically Hip on Shuffle live stream, and we're glad you're all here. So, Adam from Tampa.
Well, the first line.
What's your take on this? You've got the hook in your cheek at titillation. Yeah. You're pulled in. What are you reeling in?
All right. So Lou Reed once said something really profound. He wrote a song called I Love You, Suzanne. And he said, this is a stupid, dumb song. It's not because it's a bad song, but it's only about one thing. Gord never wrote about one thing. So while this is a road song, but it's more than that. You know, yes, initially I'm on the road. I'm bored. I see interstate, brick buildings, Coffee Mate. I got to make a bunch of phone calls because real life's going on. And I'm sitting in the edge of the bed. And, you know, later on in the song, he's flying home. But in the middle, he's picking up some person who needs a ride, who's got water in his shoes. That song is, it's related, but he's got other things going on there. So I think it's a very interesting song because it's just it's classic Gord singing about a lot of things. And I love this one too, because he's got a chambermaid flexing her arms, muscle to the bone. And then right. Escape is at Hand has chambermaids, you know, and they're chuckling over the lyrics to the songs. You know, I thought he checked out or something like that. Yeah, it's as great as he is, you know, he's like, I like this word chambermaid and I'm going to get in a couple songs. So yeah, the whole thing is just brilliant.
It's a very lyrical word.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in typical Hip fashion, and he said this at the end of Long Time Running, you know, in the bonus stuff, like he just nautical disaster. I get tired. And so I just turned it over to Robbie. And he brings us home. And this song is, okay, the last 30, 40 seconds, they'll kind of repeat the chorus, but Robbie's soloing like a madman. And it's just, just beautiful.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit, Patrick. We always talk a lot about Gord and Gord's lyrics, and sort of diving in deep. But we've already had two or three references to how musically literate this song is as well. This is a great fucking band. Patrick, talk a bit about the composition or the production of this song.
Well, I've always thought that the four remaining guys should really.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'd love them to put out like a groove album, because I think they could just get into a groove and, you know, do something that like would last 20 minutes long, but it would feel like 4 minutes kind of thing. Like they're always in the pocket, as the phrase goes. I mean, the song has that, this tribal drum sort of beginning. It's very forceful. You got the bass in there, and then you've got sort of, Robbie coming in over top and, you know, sprinkling in his, you know, a little note here and there, like almost like, you know, just filling the empty spaces left by the rhythm section. And it's just perfect, like synchronicity, of the band backing Gord and, you know, cause Gord is Gord. We all appreciate him for his, you know, his words and his lyrics and his depth in that department. And I do think sort of that the other four guys kind of get short shrift there, that we don't realize just how incredible the four of them are as one unit and how much they deliver on this particular tune. Right. And even just in the sequencing of the album, the way Robbie sort of finishes out the song and it, It's got a good pace going and a good rhythm, and then you slide into what almost feels like the jazzy opening of the rules, and you're almost like transported into this sort of jazz lounge environment. And it,
he was just getting
for a second.
Yeah. From a radio programming perspective, which is my background, you know, there's things called pace changes where you go from like a high tempo song to a low tempo song, and it's generally frowned upon. But, you know, not that I'd call Vapor Trails a high tempo song, but it's going and it's in top gear at the end. And then you got the rules coming in underneath it with this sort of chill vibe, and it just works.
It's mid-tempo at least.
Yeah. And again, I think that's, you know, again, I think that's a credit to the other four guys that maybe don't probably get enough credit. We all, you know, we're all good to lionize Gord, pardon the pun, but we don't lionize the rest of the act. And, you know, the whole unit is what made that band the band.
You are right. But I think what I love about what you just said is that my dog is really happy about it as well. I apologize.
Very excited.
I got one fan. That's cool.
What I love about what you just said is it builds on the theme of today's episode. And the theme of today's episode is, you know, the Bob Cajuns and the Poets taking away from the Vapor Trails to a certain degree. And in this case, you're talking about Gord Downie, like fucking best frontman of all time, with arguably the best band of all time. And that's why Lightning in a fucking Bottle. Ryan McNeil, how lucky are you that, you know, we have been, this is your pre-question, how lucky are you that we've been, you know, like we've been alive during this?
It's one of those things where I count myself lucky to have been able to see them twice. Mm-hmm. And at their peak, you know, like if I die tomorrow, I can say that I have been in the room to watch Ray Charles and Amy Winehouse and David Bowie and Prince and Gord Downie. And that is a very blessed life. Actually, one thing I wanted to back up for a sec, what I think is interesting about the song is the way it begins. I actually dug the way everybody kind of comes in staggered. We get the drums first, and then we get the rhythm guitar next, and then we get the lead guitar next, and then Gord joins. So everybody's laying something on top of, and that to me, rather than like, you know, the musicians coming in and then the vocals the way most songs do, it builds this really interesting texture that we're gonna follow for, you know, 4 minutes and 7 seconds.
Oh, jump in there, Adam. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I think Berlin did an absolutely fantastic job. So I think a lot of that comes into the production. You know, people, I don't know if they played live in the room. I think they probably did. And
the bathhouse is not very big.
Right. So they would have seen each other. So, but again, and I think on Fireworks, they recorded it in the kitchen. So the guy was, he was pulling out everything in the toolkit to make this app. But I agree. This thing just
freaking that you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not, I don't know who decided those things, but somebody would. And I think there's actually something there as I was reading the book that came with the box set. The mixing of this record took a long time because they were not happy with it. They remixed it several times, and Berlin was actually taken out of the equation, and it really frustrated them. Yeah. You can all read about that yourself in several places.
That's in No Dress Rehearsal, right? Or pardon me, This Is Our Life, right?
It's in the Barclay book. It's also in the actual, this actual booklet that comes in here. So I was, I just remembered that while we look at this thing as to me, it's a perfect record. There's 12 songs. There's nothing I would ever skip on it, and no disrespect to anybody else. But this is this one Fully Completely in Violet Light. To me, those are like three just like perfect records. And so I just enjoy this one. I love the sound of it. And I bought it originally on CD, and then I got the 2019 version, which Bob Ludwig remastered. And the guy's, he's like a genius. And when I play that on vinyl, it just blows me away. I'm like, okay, I knew this record, and now I'm it's like at a different level, you know, it's just at another level, the sounds they get out of the vinyl. So it was really mastered really, really well.
Can I say something controversial?
Please.
I actually think this record is their apex. I think they spend the next decade and a half of their careers trying to get back to this, and they never do. They make some really, really, really good albums, but they never make one as great as this again.
Well, and there's nothing
for me. That's very controversial. This isn't about me. This is Adam's.
You know, every band's going to have an apex. I mean, if it's the Rolling Stones, you can sit there and say, "Hey, we got these 3-4 albums, and we've been chasing it ever since."
For 50 years.
Roger Waters said, "Songs don't grow on trees."
From a commercial perspective, Ryan's right. I mean, you know, Bob Cajun is clearly their biggest song. Poets was a huge hit too, and I don't think anything after those, post Phantom Power, I don't think anything was as commercially successful.
I don't know. We Are the Same, which is mind blowing to me. We Are the Same was a number one record. It debuted at number one, and do you know what didn't debut at number one? The Phantom Power record, the record before it. No, Phantom Power did. World Power
Total. I like the albums that follow this. I like some of them an awful lot, but this is the last one of theirs I love.
Sure. That's fair. No, it's totally fair. It's just Phantom Power is not my favorite record. It's in the middle third.
Well, it was
middle
funny.
Third. Whoa. Okay.
I mean, it was funny, JD, when you did your show where you were introducing the boys to the records for the first time, and how they said they gleaned most onto Latter Day Hip. Like that, I remember talking about that with a friend of mine. I was like, what? Did they not hear the first ones? What happened here? So I think a lot of it comes into where you find them and where they find you. That was very much, you know, the whole thing. I was early 20s at the time, so that's the music that latches most for me.
Yep.
So that could have something to do with it too.
Huh. Patrick, is this a fair song to introduce somebody to the Hip with? And by that, I just want to clarify, you know, it is considered sort of a deeper cut. So before you played it to said person, how would you describe it?
Oh, great, great question. I do, you know, I don't know if I would, if it was, you know, somebody zaps into my room, I've just landed on Earth for the first time. You know, I've heard about this band, The Tragically Hip. That's what brought me to your planet. Would I play Vapor Trails for them first? I might not. I might probably go with something a little more accessible, and save this one for maybe third or fourth, you know, in the rundown.
Okay.
Right. But you know, I would probably get to it sooner rather than later, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Right. Just to show, because it does sort of showcase another side of the band. Right. If all you do know about this band is what you hear on the radio or the videos you used to see on Much Music, that's like one small facet of what this band did for 40 years.
This song was a single.
Yep.
Was it?
This song
was a single. It was a promo single.
It was a promotional single. They never made a video for it, but it was a single.
I don't know if it would have got play. It certainly wouldn't get play the way Poets Bob Cajun did. What else was a single off of this?
Fireworks was a single.
Something on Escape Is at Hand. Right. Those are all far more accessible songs.
Patrick calls those
maybe
the
songs
that he skipped.
Maybe not Escape Is at Hand.
No. Well, no, that's true. Escape is probably the least accessible. It's probably why it was the last single released. Like,
it's so tasty.
This album is so strong. We need another single. I mean, there's 12 tunes on Fully Completely. 7 of them got radio airplay. Like, that's a ridiculous number.
Absolutely.
Of songs off of one album to get radio airplay. Yeah. And we have CanCon rules in this country, but that's not the reason why those songs got airplay. Those songs got airplay because they're strong.
And that fucking record is Diamond, which is like unheard of in Canada.
Right.
Unheard of.
Right. So, you know, not as many songs off Phantom Power got radio play. Poets sure. and Bob Cajun were the top two, obviously. Maybe, oh, actually, Fireworks as well, provided the station would, you know, edit it, which drives me nuts. I hate editing. I hate editing songs, especially because you're just taking a swear out of it, right? Oh. Never mess with an artist's art is sort of my take. Because they never edit out the F shot in Locked in the Trunk of a Car, but they edit out the F shot in Fireworks. So,
look what you've done. JD is he's had enough. He's out.
He's exploded.
He took his ball and went home.
He's
like,
he's all about the editing,
right?
Yeah,
it's funny. I was just about to tell him that I was looking at the this new thing he's got, and under Phantom Power. He's got Tiger the Lion listed as one of their singles, so we're going to have to get that fixed. Because
I'm pretty yeah, sure I'm love pretty that song. I love that song.
Too. I had a great, yeah, we're not going to take away, he'll get it mad because he's listening to this, but there was a great debate on Reddit about Tiger the Lion this week, and it was fun.
I love that. Tiger the Lion is one of my favorites, but I really want to dig into Vapor Trails.
Yeah. Yes.
And we've only sort of looked at the banana right now. Let's peel this fucker and get into it. Adam from Tampa. Yeah. Describe Vapor Trails for me.
Well, it's got, you know, it's got great lyrics, like I said, and we haven't really mentioned, you know, there's nothing uglier than a man hitting his stride. And if this song was Courage, where everybody kind of doesn't really know exactly what they're saying but sings along, if this song was so popular, that is something that everybody would be screaming. It's such a great line, you know. And until this week, I really didn't have any idea what he was, you know, there's nothing uglier than a man hitting his stride. I had no idea what he was talking about. But then when I started reading the lyrics, I realized that he's reacting. It's all taken out of context because he's watching this guy walking in sopping wet shoes with a sign. And so he's like, okay, he's as the narrator and the driver of the car. There's nothing uglier than some guy who's just being obstinate and difficult, doesn't want to get in the car. But when he does get in the car, he's got all these things to say. There's nothing uglier than that. You know, I'm giving you a ride. but that line is just, that is what really got me into the song because I had no idea what it meant. But I said, well, I'm going to be singing this every single time it's in my car. There's nothing uglier than a man hitting his stride. And I think about it sometimes when I'm running. I go, man, you look ugly. Your form is terrible. Nothing uglier than a man hitting his stride. So, and I know that has nothing to do with it. There's another thing about this song that's really cool is that Rob plays a Rickenbacker on it. And yeah. Somebody pointed it out to me. So I found that Much Music show in 2000 when they had the Kate Fenner part of the band and, you know, the other guy, and I looked, and there he is. He's playing a Rickenbacker. And I've never seen Robbie play that guitar before. And even though he's very generous, like even in the documentary showing his guitars, I go, I don't see a Rickenbacker in there. And I always associate Rickenbacker with that kind of Tom Petty sound. But that's not what he's getting here. He's just getting an absolute beautiful solo out of that guitar. So... yeah,
it's interesting because I always think of him as a Strat guy, you know.
Yeah,
like yeah. That's sort of what goes on. Except for that, is it a Richard Martin or whatever, that other guitar that he plays?
The Paul Reed or Paul Pierce, whatever those things are. But I, again, going back, I that whole flying home thing. See, until I saw something on the Hip Museum, I thought this song was kind of like a reaction to them driving around the U.S. and I'm bored because we got all these long drives. And we're not really necessarily getting anywhere. And, but, you know, and right now I'm flying home. And I thought the whole Mexican thing was because in 96, I noticed that they were touring the Southwest. Well, I was totally out to lunch because on the Hip Museum, apparently Ontario was way ahead of the curve and getting Mexicans into the country to do manual labor.
Absolutely.
The Hip Museum talks about that. And they didn't guarantee him citizenship. And if they got out of line, they were ejected from Canada very quickly. But absolutely. That's kind of where it comes from, you know, not necessarily him driving somewhere in New Mexico or Texas or Oklahoma, where a lot of people do day labor, you know. And
sure.
I got I'm in my shirt, I'm digging, I'm doing gardening. Then it's noon, and now we got to start watering. So That's so there's just so much like for the song.
The beige shirt, you know, Mexicans dressed in beige shirts. That's so evocative to me. It's just, I can picture the sweat stains. I can picture the the hands that are very well worn because they've worked very hard. And I hear a lot of poverty in this song. I really do. Yeah. Ryan, do you hear anything like that? Or what's your, you talked off the top, road song, loneliness. If you want to expand on that, you can. Or if you want to dig in a little deeper, you can do
what
that.
What I want to ask is it cheating or brilliant to rhyme hose with hose?
Yeah.
H-O-S-E-H-O-E-S. Now, I mean, sure. Okay, I'll laugh, but I'm like, it's one extreme or the other. It's either it's absolutely amazing or it's absolutely, you know, half-assed.
Clever wordplay.
Yeah, yeah, yes, it could be. And Adam, actually, it's I love that you mention you know, nothing funnier than a man hitting, nothing uglier than a man hitting a stride, because the lyric that got me was nothing funnier than pride in an utterly confident stride. It's like, I'm like, there's nothing more hilarious than somebody who is so confidently wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody's like, no, the album came out in 1995. You know, like it's always, that person is always hysterical.
And can somebody help me out on, like, I'm not the rudder thing. I thought that was something about, you know, throw away the rudder, you know,
that is the away. Most poetic way in the world to say, fuck it. Say, fuck it. Throw take away the rudder. Like, just, thank take you. Your hand, take your hands off the oars. Like,
take your hands off the wheel. And
question, does an airplane have a rudder?
Yes.
I checked that
because,
out.
Because I picture him leaning his head against an airplane window and, you know, they're on the road again. And he can see the vapor trails from the plane. This is what it evokes.
You could also see the vapor trails in heavy rapids.
That set of lyrics.
You could see the vapor trails in heavy rapids. Like if the current is taking you, it's like, you know, and the water is really swirling up. Fuck it. Just break off the rudder and let's go. Let's see where this takes us.
We're both wrong. We're both right. And that's what's fucking cool about me.
And, you know, we're back out on the road. We're touring again. Throw away the rudder. Does it really matter where I'm traveling to? No. Yeah, I just know that I've got to get to somewhere to do a show tonight. So who cares where I'm headed? Throw away the rudder. I'll get wherever I need to go and I'll go do my show.
What do you think of that take?
No, I was that's kind of like where I asked the question, because I'm not, I kind of looked at that thing again. It was in my whole, we're frustrated in the U.S. and I don't care. We're just going to keep going and everywhere. So I'm just going to throw away the rudder and hopefully this will work.
Toss the manual out the window and see what happens.
Yeah. So right now I'm flying over. Right now I'm flying home. I just got to get back to my own bed. Yes. And so I think there was a part in the song where he's, you know, you could stare at his own shoes, you know, but he's in one part, he's doing it in the hotel room. And in the end, he's finally back into his own home. So, you know, for whatever.
Oh, dude, means. It's so there's, you know, it's a pastiche from his notebook. It's a thread of an idea. It's a spider web. It's a fucking spider web. That's what it is. And let's get throw away the rudder to catch on, because that is a great way to just be like, rather than hands off the wheel, you know, that's so old school, hands off the wheel. Let's talk about throwing away the rudder going forward, folks. So, Ryan, do you want to bring us home? Last thoughts about vapor trails.
If you speed it up a little bit, it's Driver 8 by REM. But it's there. I stand by what I said, that it is poets the morning after. And I love that. I love kind of a match set of a song, like a side A and a side B, a fast version and a slow version. I love their songs that start with drums. Like, I love, and oddly enough, there's a lot of them on Day for Night, Grace 2, Poets, So Hard Done By, Thugs Poet, of course, is not on Day for Night, because there's nothing funnier than a man with pride. But no, it's this. I was actually, you know what? I was really happy that we steered towards this one for the show, because it wasn't one that I really paid much attention to before. But now it'll be part of the no skips.
Yeah,
really, it earned a place in the no skips club.
Oh yeah. I can see why Patrick starts at a Thompson Girl.
Right? But hey, again, don't get me wrong. Bob Cajun's a lovely song. I just personally, I've heard it too many times in my life. That's all. Right? But I do.
You sing every word to it. Patrick, what are your final thoughts on Paper Trail?
I do want to give Gord a little bit more praise for using the word sopping in a song, because I don't know if that's ever been used in a tune before. Sopping is such a good word. Sopping wet is so descriptive. You know, you're not just a little bit damp, you are drenched to the freaking bone. And what's the worst thing to have wet is your shoes and socks. It's such a great visual to have sopping wet shoes. Like, I almost feel myself getting
wet.
Oh,
shoe.
No.
See, his computer is too wet.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm having shorting out because of the moisture. But yeah, full marks to sopping wet shoes. It's a great little visual in a pretty visual song.
Just don't spill orbits on your computer.
Yeah, if you know, exactly. You know.
Adam from Tampa, final thoughts on...
Okay, so I'm asking my Canadian, since I got three Canadians here. In the book, when they were demoing this thing, they had Vapor, V-A-P-O-R, and then they changed it to V-A-P-O-U-R. And so I was kind of like going, maybe that's just a English or Canadian or UK type spelling. I couldn't get an answer. But Rush, in 2002, just years later, put out Vapor Trail as a song and an album, Vapor Trails, just spelled V-A-P-O-R, and they're quite Canadian. So I just was like, I'm never going to. They're far more international. That's true.
Right?
That's very true. That they had much more of an international profile. But I'd also say, like, as a Canadian with, you know, words like vapor, color, rumor, we're hip to both spellings.
Yeah.
Right.
Not like we don't know what is this word?
Yeah. Right. We're taught to spell favorite with a U, neighbor with a U. We're taught that way. But because we live, you know, next door to the States, we're acclimatized to the American spellings of words as well.
So I wonder, if they got some coaching or feedback or one, you know, the band is just sort of like,
who knows?
Interesting. It's a well spotted on your part, Adam, because I don't think I would have noticed that at all.
Yeah, well, like Jamie said, I'm anal on stuff.
It might even be a way to differentiate the two songs from a catalog a point of view, the same way that, like, Billy Joel has New York State of Mind, but Nas has NY State of Mind.
That's an interesting point. I mean, there's numerous tunes that have the same title that are different songs. Yeah. That is certainly a possibility. I wouldn't immediately discount that at all.
Two giant bands from the, you know, 200
boroughs.
Yeah, 200 mile radius, you know? That's pretty crazy.
JD, am I setting a show record for bringing up the most other bands in one show?
The statistician is off tonight and the abacus is down. So, it is down. I'm looking into a new gas powered one. So it should.
If so, we can send my mic to the Tragically Hip podcast Hall of Fame for a nice exhibit behind glass.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Can join the hockey puck from the USA team.
Nice.
It's another show. Oh my goodness gracious.
Got it in there.
And it's in number 72, right?
That's it.
Is that, that's kind of fair.
We've got some business to take care of.
Go for it.
And that means we have got to shuffle for next week's song. So let me pull up the old shuffle-o-rama machine. And let's see if now that everything went haley with... no, that should be good. It should play over this speaker. So you'll be able to hear it. I'll hear it before you, so I'll look away.
If it's Bob Cajun, you got to bring Patrick back.
No, can't do the album twice in a row. That's what
we can't do the album twice in a row. Yeah. Adam knows the rules. He's got the home game. So Let's do this. I'm not going to look. More drums to kick off a song.
Yeah.
Right? This is a Train Overnight.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So we're carrying
Train Overnight.
And that goes with Ryan. That nails Ryan with the Driver 8, which is a train song.
Oh, it comes back around. The
Well, this
Canada's REM, baby.
Yeah, I would argue that. Yeah, like similar makeup, but I would still take them over top.
I'm jazzed.
But Adam, do you have anything you want to plug this evening?
All right. Well, you did a wonderful job with our friend Sarah, who we are all pulling for, and you did a GoFundMe. There might be some people on, and I did contribute to that all the way. So, and I will be listening on April 11th. But there is some people from Buffalo may know a guy who's really big in music down there, Marty Boriton, up in Buffalo. And he had a very serious aneurysm the day after his birthday in December. And there is a GoFundMe going on right now. He's fortunately made it home. But he is a guy who used to work in one of the big record stores in Buffalo. And then he moved to Eden and he was putting on house concerts. So bands have come out of their way to go and play. And Marty's just one of those all-time great guys. So if anybody is from Buffalo, look up the GoFundMe for Marty Boriton.
You know the link by chance?
I will do something.
Drop it in the...
Yeah.
You know, when Ryan or Patrick are giving their plugs, look it up and you can throw it in the chat.
Yeah.
Perfect. Patrick, anything you want to plug this evening?
No, I don't. I don't have too much going on the personal front.
Just listening to a lot of B-sides.
Listening, deep cuts, album cuts, and deep cuts are my thing. I like the singles, I do, but I do get burnt out on certain tunes every now and again, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Ryan, I know you've got some things you want to plug as well, so let's hear them, my friend.
We got the Matinee Cast. I talk about film. If there's anybody out there who loves film and loves more of my dulcet tones rambling about films I'm passionate about, we've got the next episode coming out Monday.
This week,
March,
right?
March 23rd. We are actually going to go back a few weeks, and we're going to talk about a film with some orbits in it. Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. Yeah, that episode is coming up Monday, and I'm really excited.
Who have you got with it?
Courtney Small is on to talk about that, which is apropos because he saw it at TIFF and he was the one who pointed me towards it. And I'm really happy to be having him on to talk about it.
Was it a Midnight Madness movie?
Sure was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, brilliant. Just perfect.
Yeah.
It is a really good movie. And you just can't tell anybody about it. You just gotta say, go see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we spoil the shit out of it, but we start by saying we both think it's good and we both think you should see it. So once you've seen it, come on back and listen, because we're going to talk about all kinds of things. And it's just, it's such a optimistic, warm, joyful movie that should be, that should be celebrated. So we celebrate it on the show on Monday.
That's great. That's great. If you haven't listened to the Matinee Cast, Ryan has been at it for a long time.
I'm a senior citizen.
He's a pro star. He's got.
And I would also encourage your listeners, look for my show with you, JD, where we talked about the Counting Crows documentary.
Yeah.
Their second. Yeah, it was a great conversation. A lot of fun about their documentary, Have You Seen Me Lately?
Which is great.
It's all about their run up into like their first two records, Adam's relationship with his mental health, and JD as always brings the goods.
Oh,
always wanted to listen. See, I can't figure out how to put something in the chat, but maybe if you can, Ryan, I'll just put my thing in the chat. I can't. I've got it ready. I just don't know how to get into the chat.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry about it.
Well, they bring me here to talk, not to chat.
There's a little chat icon on your right of your panel. If you click that, you'll see the chat, and it's just
I see the chat. I just don't know how to add a chat.
Adam, the bottom
not
left
on the screen, not on the screen. Here, I'll take the one off the screen.
Put it in the private chat.
Oh, Adam, the private chat,
and then JD can grab it from there.
Perfect. Yeah, do that. So listen, I want to thank everybody for coming out this evening. I want to thank our special guests. I want to thank Adam from Tampa. And I want to thank Patrick from Toronto. And I want to thank Ryan from Toronto, our compatriots. And there it goes. It's in the message now. So if you, you know, like what, well, you don't like it, but if you understood what Adam from Tampa was putting down, then you should probably give that a clickeroo. Yeah. Listen, everybody in the chat, thanks. You guys, you really did bring it tonight. It's tough to talk about a song for an hour, but hey, we did it. And next week, we're going to do the same thing. Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, three new panelists. Only one will survive. No, we're not doing that. But we're going to talk about Train Overnight. So that's cool. So join us, please, when we do that. It's been great to hang out with you for this last hour, and we'll do it again next week. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening. This has been a presentation of the Tragically Hip podcast series. For more information and to follow us, go to Instagram at TTH Pod Series. Or you can follow along and chat with like-minded hip fans on our Facebook group. If you'd like to reach JD, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com.